This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الأحبة في الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل البخاري رحمه الله collected in his hadith from the hadith of Al-Abbas ibn عبد المطلب عم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ذاق طعم الإيمان من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا. So it was narrated by Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and collected by Bukhari in his Sahih, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a person would feel the sweetness of Iman, the sweetness of faith, if he fulfills three conditions. One, رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. When such a person is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Rabb, the Master. We're going to explain what does that mean. وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ. That's number two. He's pleased with Islam as religion. وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا. And the third is to be pleased with Prophet Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ as the Prophet and Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam utiya jawami' al-kalim, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with eloquence. He would express very deep meanings in very short words. So this hadith, he summarized and he gave us a recipe for those who want to feel the sweetness of Iman. In our journey back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this dunya to akhirah, we go through lots of difficulties and challenges. But there are moments where you feel and you taste that sweetness of Iman. There are times when you are fasting in Ramadan and you're about to break your fast and you raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you can feel it, that you're very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have abstained from everything that will displease Allah from the beginning of the day till sunset, and now you're reaping the fruit. There are moments when you are making sujood and you feel you're very close, because the Prophet ﷺ said, أَقْرَبْ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The closest position to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you are in a state of sujood, prostration. And you feel like, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاء. He listens to my call. He feels what I'm going through. That moment when you are praying behind the imam, and you are enjoying both the sweetness of the voice and the sweetness of the meaning. These are moments where you can feel that boost of your Iman. But the Prophet ﷺ is giving us three conditions. If we were to fulfill them, we will feel the sweetness of Iman. And the first one is going to be the topic of our khutbah today. من رضي بالله ربا. Whoever is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Rabb, as the Master. كيف أرضى بالله ربا؟ How can I be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as my Rabb? So I will give you four tips, four pieces of advice. How can you fulfill that meaning in your life? How can I show that I'm pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as my Rabb? And let's go into a journey in the Quran and discover when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about himself as the Rabb, he'll always mention two of his names or attributes. From the linguistic point of view, الرب هو الذي يخلق من عدم ويتولى الرزق. Linguistically speaking, when I say the word Rabb, it means someone who creates out of nothing and he provides for his creation. This is why, figuratively speaking, or metaphorically speaking, when we look at a man who goes and proposes to a woman and he starts a family and he's supposed to be financially obligated to provide for that family, so metaphorically speaking, we say Rabbul Usra. He's the Rabb of this Usra. It doesn't mean that he's Allah, but metaphorically it means he's the one who started a family that was not existing, so he created something. And he provides for that family. And for some reason, if the man, you know, dies, or the woman gets divorced, and she's the one providing for the family, even we can say Rabbatul Usra. She is the one providing for that family. So I want you to realize the linguistic meaning first. So Rabb هو الذي يخلق من عدم ويتولى الرزق. So Rabb means is the one who creates out of nothing and he provides for his creation. Now, Rabb also means al-murabbi. Out of that word, Rabb is the derivative murabbi, the one who raises, the one who takes care of something or someone, the one who educates someone what to do, what not to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us the Quran to do tarbiyah to us. He sent us the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be a Quran moving on earth, to put the Quran as a theory into action. So Allah does tarbiyah to us as the Rabb through the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabb also is the mun'im, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and me a heart. How much did we pay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that heart? It's for free. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and me eyes. How much did we pay to earn these two eyes? Nothing, it's for free. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you two kidneys. If one of them stops functioning, how much would you pay to buy one of these kidneys? Allah gave us this for free. This is all the in'am from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave us everything for free. And subhanAllah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us in the Quran, He talks in a very gentle way. He would say, أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ أَفَلَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah said, wouldn't they be grateful? Wouldn't you be grateful? Sometimes Allah will talk to us directly, or when He talks about things that He gave to us, He'd say, wouldn't they be grateful? But we take what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us for granted. As if like, you know, I have to wake up in the morning every day and my eyes are there and they're functioning well. And when something happens to your kidneys or to your eyes or to your liver, all these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes you say, why me? I'm a Muslim. No, Allah is testing you. Allah gave you everything and He's entitled to claim it back. And nobody can stop Him. So we need to realize the meaning of the word Rabb. كَيْفَ مَرْضَى بِاللَّهِ رَبَّ. Rabb is the one who created you. He provides for you. He gave you everything in return for nothing. And all what's expected from you is to enslave yourself to Him. Not to enslave yourself to something that He created, like money, like shaitan, like your desires. أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانِ Allah said, I gave you the covenant. I explained everything to you. I told you, don't worship shaitan. Do you think somebody's going to go and say, I'm going to do prayer for shaitan? I'm going to do siyam for shaitan? What's the meaning of ibadat shaitan? Ibadah here means obedience. Shaitan comes and whispers something into your ears, you listen to him. Your nafs tells you, man, it's very cold outside and the blanket's warm. How come that you're going to wake up now to pray Fajr? That's your nafs, your enemy. Tell her, if you want to go to Jannah, you have to listen to Allah. Allahu Akbar. And there's a special addition in the Adhan for Fajr. As-salatu khayrun. It's a statement. Salah is better for you than sleeping. Isn't it too much to wake up and show that you submit to Allah? But sometimes we listen to our nafs. We listen to our desires. How do you feel like? I feel like drinking. But this is haram. Allah ghafoor raheem. You always have this dialogue. I feel like smoking. But you know you're going to be mad. You're going to be destroying your money, destroying your health. But you know, it's a bad habit. What can I do? You became a slave? You became an addict? So I want you to realize the meaning of the word رب. مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّ You have to acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you so many things. Now let's move to the Quran and take you into the journey. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Himself as رب, He'll always mention two attributes. Basically, they are khalq and hidayah, creation and guidance. And for the benefit of the time, I'm just going to share three ayat as examples of this, so that we realize what it means to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Rabb. In a surah that you all memorize, surah number 87, surah Al-A'la, first two ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. You see the word رب is here. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. Celebrate the praises of your رب, your master. الأعلى, the most high, سبحانه وتعالى. Right away, after he mentioned himself as رب, what did he say? الذي خلق. He's the one who creates. He's the one who created you and me. فَسَوَّى He created you in a way that is equipped with everything you need in this life. Allah created you in a way that fits your job in this life. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى And He created everything in certain proportion so that there will be balance in life. And then فَهَدَى Meaning He provided guidance for His creation. So basically, when Allah said, خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى Look at yourself. Your face is here. Imagine if your face is at the back. Your eyes are on the top. Imagine if your eyes are like under, like beneath your mouth. Allah gives you in the best form. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created your eyes before you come to this life, while you're still in the womb of your mother. Because once you come out, there are three faculties that start working gradually. And if you follow the Quran, they will always be in the same order. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ When Allah mentions the Quran, He's the one who created you. You know, He's the one who started your creation. And Allah always will say, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ And He gave you hearing. That's the first faculty. وَالْأَبْصَارَ Seeing. وَالْأَفْئِدَ Meaning reasoning. Now, look at real life when you have a baby. Once they come out, no, before even they come out of the womb of their mother, they can hear. When a baby is crying, even if they are 1 hour old or 1 day old, when the baby cries and any female member of his family starts calling him, saying, "Don't worry, you're not alone, I'm coming to you," he will never stop crying until he hears the voice of his mother. He feels peace. If she's the one saying, I'm here," he'll stop crying. He can distinguish the voice of his mother even while he was still inside when she talks to him. This is why we always say, don't let the baby, even inside of the home of the mother, to listen to songs. Better to listen to the Quran. Then, once the baby comes out, they can hear. But it takes almost a week for them to be able to see and try it. Go and visit somebody with a newborn. First week, try to put your hand in front of them. They will never blink. But after that, they will start seeing. And then for a year or almost more or two, their own reason. They start crawling and they go to the stove and they burn themselves. And then after that, by trial and error, they say, "Oh, if I touch this, that's going to burn me." They start reasoning. Look at the order in the Quran. Allah gave you hearing. Then Allah will always mention seeing. And then after that, reasoning. Who did that? Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us everything before even we need it. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَى وَالَّذِي قَدْرَ. Allah created everything in this universe with certain proportion for balance. Allah created worms. And these worms, sometimes they feed on something that makes balance in the world. In Australia, they used insecticides and they got rid of a certain worm. And that worm, subhanAllah, used to feed on cactus. You know cactus? That plant that can prick you. That plant that's very sour. It's there in nature for balance. Allah knows what He creates. So subhanAllah, once they got rid of that worm, that cactus starts like being an army and it attacked the entire city, covered the entire city. And they couldn't stop it because they played with nature. Guess what? The only way they could stop cactus was to import that worm again from another country and get it back to their city. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ. The percentage of oxygen in air is 21%. If it goes up, what happens? With the first spark, everything will be burnt on earth. The life cycle of flies, they say it's 5 days. If they don't die, the whole world will be covered with flies 5 centimeters in 5 days. Who does that? الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. هَدَى means Allah provided guidance for all of His creation. So now in this ayah, Allah mentioned خَلْقَ الْهِدَايَةِ. Why am I saying this? It's coming soon now. So Allah created us and He provided guidance for us. Allah told us the purpose of our life here. He didn't create us and leave us wandering aimlessly in this life. Because in Surah 51, Surah Al-Dariyat, Ayah 56, Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn and mankind except to enslave themselves to me. I don't like the word worship. Because if you look the word, if you look up the word worship in the dictionary, it means to love, to respect, to dedicate time. And worship is something temporary. We worship Allah by praying. How long does it take you? 10 minutes? 5 times? That's 50 minutes a day. What about the rest of the day? Eating could be an act of worship. If you intend to eat, to have energy, to be a righteous person in the community and to provide for your family, you get a reward for that. When you sleep, sleeping could be an act of worship. If you intend to have some rest, to woke up and pray Fajr and go to your work and be a person contributing to the welfare of your community. Looking at the mirror could be an act of worship. When you look and act like the Prophet ﷺ, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahsana khalqi. All praises due to Allah who created me in the best form. What's more important? Allahumma hassin khuluqi kama ahsanta khalqi. Oh Allah, perfect my manners the way you perfected my shape. You can change your 24/7 into ibadah by being a slave of Allah. Why not? When you acknowledge this yourself and you sign a contract with Allah 17 times at least in the 17 rak'ah of fard in the Fatiha. You sign that contract by saying, Iyaka na'bud. What is the meaning of Iyaka na'bud? Ya Allah, I'm your slave. Ana abd wa anta rabb. You're the master and I'm the slave. And the master is the one who gives instructions all the time. The slave is the one who is waiting for his master to tell him, go there, don't go there. Do this, don't do this. And that's Rabb. Man radiya billahi rabba. That's Rabb. So Allah created us and He provided guidance for us. Another example in the Quran, if you go and read in Surah Al-Shu'ara, Surah number 26, Ayah number 77, there was a debate between Ibrahim alayhi salam and the idol worshippers of his time. He pointed at the idol worshippers that they are worshipping and he said, فَكُلُّهُمْ عَدُوُّلِّ. These are enemies to me, they are nothing. You created them with your own hands. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So these are all enemies to me except رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. What did he say? رَبْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Ibrahim was talking to the idol worshippers. He mentioned Allah. He started defining who's Allah. These are idols. These are things that you make with your own hands. But the real Rabb, he said, رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Who is رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ? Then he will start introducing to us, who is رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ? He said, number one, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي. Again, creation. The one who gave me life. The one who brought me to this dunya. And he gave me everything to make my job easy. What's next? فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ. And he did not leave me without guidance. He gave me a road map to reach my destination, which is Jannah. الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ. Let's move to another ayah in the Quran that talks about Allah as the Rabb again. In Surah Taha, Surah number 20, verses 44 and 45, there was a dialogue between, or a conversation between the Pharaoh of Egypt and on one side and Musa and Harun on the other side. The Pharaoh said to them, قَالَ فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. What's the question? He said, who's your Rabb? Oh, Musa and Harun. What was the answer? Musa alayhi salam said, قال ربنا الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. Again, when he was asked again in the Quran about who's the Rabb, he said, Allah is the one who gave life to everything in this dunya. Allah is the creator of everything. Then he said, ثم هدى. And he provided guidance for his creation. I can go on and on and give you lots of examples, but why am I happening this point? Why am I repeating myself? It's not repetition. It's just to confirm one fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and He is a Khaliq and He is the Hadi. And He is the one who tells us how to walk, how to go in this life, what to do, what not to do. Why? Why am I saying this? Because some people today, they'll tell you, we accept Allah as the Creator, but we'll take care of ourselves. We will guide ourselves. And this is basically the essence of what's called secularism. They tell you, yes, Allah created everything, but we'll take care of everything after that. So, number one, tip number one, كيف أرضى بالله ربا أن أقبل الله عز وجل في حياتي خالقا وهاديا. So this is you know, advice or piece of advice number one. I have to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the creator and also as the one who guides me in every single step of my life. Before I speak, before I make a decision, I always go back to Him. Ya Allah, You created me and I'm coming back to You. I'm going to say this. Would that be pleasing to You? Ya Allah, I'm going to make that decision. Would that be pleasing to You? And this is why I will ask you to print out ayah number 1 in surah number 49, surah Al-Hujurat. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Oh, you who believe. Na'am, Ya Allah. Yes, Allah. لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Don't put anyone in front of Allah and His Messenger. If you want success in this life and the life to come, before you say anything, before you take any decision, Ya Allah, I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna do this. Would that be pleasing to You? If the answer is yes, proceed to the next one. Next question is, shall I do it the way of the Prophet ﷺ or the way my culture does it? The way we do it back home. No, we do everything the way the Prophet ﷺ commanded us. So this is tip number 1. Tip number 2. كيف أرضى بالله ربا. How can I be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as my Rabb, my Master? الله عز وجل له أوامر كونية وكذلك له أوامر شرعية فعلي أن أرضى بالأوامر الشرعية كما أرضى بالأوامر الكونية. What does that mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is control of the entire universe. You know, whenever anything happens in this life, some people who don't believe in Allah, they believe in something called nature. If a hurricane happens somewhere, if a flood happens somewhere, if an earthquake happens somewhere, they say, nature is angry with us. Mother Nature. It's Mother Nature. And I'm wondering, where is Father Nature then leaving Mother Nature play games with us? It doesn't make any sense. And the next question is nature a creation or a creator? Nature is a creation. So who created nature? And who sets the walls for that nature? It's Allah. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Nothing, no calamity, no disaster, nothing happens in this universe without the permission of Allah. That's what we believe as Muslims. So, based on that, when we say, لِلَّهِ أَوَامِرْ كَوْنِيَةٍ, Allah is in control of the sun, of the moon, of the sea, of the water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed an entire ummah. With what? With air. Air. Air could be a soldier of Allah, could be jundum min jundillah. You and I can relate to this. Because a few weeks ago, you go outside, it was minus 40. What is that? It's air. It's wind. That's very cold. Allah destroyed a whole ummah by a blast. When you have like a very loud voice, that could kill. Read at the beginning of Surah Al-Haqqa. فَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِالطَّاغِيَةِ. That's a blast. A very loud voice. Like, kill them. And this is one way when they torture people in jail, they expose them to that.
وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ.
Allahu Akbar. Those people, you know, they were as tall as 5 floors today. Don't tell me they were weak or something. They're stronger than you. Allah killed them by what? Rihin sarsarin atiya. Air, wind. But Allah described that wind as being sarsarin, means very cold. Atiya, very violent. Wallahi, I've seen this. One time we were traveling, and when we came out of Victoria in BC, when we came out of the ferry to take our cars, the wind was so cold and so violent that once we made it out, it was almost cutting our bones from inside. So we had to run again into the, you know, the warm weather inside, the heaters. And I said, subhanAllah, now I realize what it means. رِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. So Allah is in control of the universe. When a hurricane happens, when a flood happens, when tsunami happened, don't say Mother Nature. Say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control, and Allah is sending us a wake-up call. Pick up the call and say, yes, I have to repent. I have to get ready for meeting with Allah. كَمَا أَنَّ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَوَامِرُ كَوْنِيَةً. Allah is in control of the whole universe. He does whatever He likes. And you have no option but to accept it or accept it. The only superpower in the world. When they were hit with Katrin, what happened to them? Could they stop it? Could they do anything with their most advanced technology? Nothing. And in one day, they lost more than what they have plundered from other cities. In one day. Allah is in control. So since we have no say in this, we cannot control this, Allah lahu awamir shar'iyya. If you choose to be a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us shara'. Shara' means the Islamic law. Islam as a deen is the religion of all prophets, from Adam alayhi salam till the end, till Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what we need to know is Allah azza wa jal differentiated between the prophets by saying, لكل منكم جعلنا شرعة ومنهاجا. The deen is one, submission to Allah, enslaving yourselves to Allah. You know, from Adam to Muhammad sallam, every prophet came to tell the people, submit to Allah, be a Muslim. But the difference is, how can I apply that Islam into a way of life? That's the Sharia. And the Sharia of Muhammad sallam came to supersede all the Sharia. Because it's the best and easiest form of way of life for people. So we have to accept the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فالحلال ما أحله الله والحرام ما حرمه الله. So we have to listen to this. Anything deemed by Allah as halal, we follow. Anything deemed by Allah as haram, we stop doing it. Allah said, وأحل الله البيع. Allah made sale halal, but He made riba haram. وحرم الربا. We have to listen to that. You're a Muslim. Don't say, what can I do? Everyone is doing this. No, you will be responsible for yourself. You're not a yes man. If people do anything wrong, you follow them. You do what's right. And you're a slave of Allah, not a slave of the community. Allah said, lying is haram. Don't lie. Gambling is haram. Smoking is haram. So anything that's good for you is halal, anything that's bad is haram. So that's the meaning of أن ترضى بأوامر الله الشرعية كما ترضى بأوامره الكونية. So that's step number two. We have to listen to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He said do this, we have also to listen to the prohibitions of Allah. He said don't do this if you want to be pleased with Allah as Rabb. Third tip. Whenever any dispute arises amongst us, we have to take Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the judge. And of course, before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by Himself in Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, ayah number 65. And He started that by saying, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. O Muhammad, Allah is taking an oath by Himself. By your Rabb, by your Master, they wouldn't attain full iman. حتى يحكموك, until they take you as a judge. فيما شجر بينهم, when any dispute arises amongst them. Not only that. ولا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا ويسلموا تسليما. And they wouldn't feel any hard feelings in their hearts against what you say. Because you're going to say, you're right, you're wrong. So the person who is wrong shouldn't have any hard feelings. And they submit completely to what you say, because Allah told us that Prophet Muhammad doesn't talk all of his own whims. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَلِ الْهَوَىٰ in Surah Al-Najm, ayah number 3. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never talks out of his whims or desires. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. It's a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever we have a problem, we take it back to Allah and His Messenger. Last point that I want to share with you before we conclude the khutbah is أَنْ تَرْضَىٰ بقضاء الله عز وجل كما أنك ترضى برزقك.
Allah provides for us every day.
But also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything He likes in our life.
What's the meaning of qada or qadar?
Qadar means فعل الله في حياة العباد. As simple as that. It's whatever Allah does in your life and my life. As Muslims, we have to accept that. Whether it looks good, whether it looks bad, because Allah never does anything bad.
Whatever feels bad for you now, you could sit back 2 years later and say, Allahu Akbar, that car accident was the turning point in my life. I stopped what I was doing wrong, and I felt like I'm meeting with Allah, and I made tawbah. That was the best thing that happened about it. Even though when it happened, it was very bad. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. You might dislike something and it's better for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. You might like something and it's bad for you. But listen carefully, the end of the ayah. This is ayah 216 in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows what's best for you, but you don't know. So we have to accept the qadr of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahqaf, Surah number 64, ayah number 11. Allah said, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ.
Nothing, a disaster, a calamity, a problem, a difficulty, a hardship happens in the universe of Allah without His permission. So don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is targeting you. No, Allah loves you. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا ابْتَلَاهُ. When Allah loves someone, He keeps testing him. You come from a hardship into a hardship. So if you take it positively, you are benefiting. وَإِذَا رَضِيتَ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ فَيَرْضَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ وَأَنْتَ رَاضٍ عَنْهِ.
If you are pleased with the Qadr of Allah, it's a win-win situation. Because you are pleased with Allah and Allah is pleased with you.
And the opposite scenario, you're a loser. Because if you don't accept the Qadr of Allah, you are displeased with Allah and Allah is displeased with you.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Nothing that you might think is a musibah, a disaster, a calamity that happens, it happens after the permission of Allah. Allah said right after this,
وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ.
If I ask an Arab, what's the meaning of مَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, they would say, and whoever believes in Allah. No, in this ayah doesn't mean to believe in Allah. It means to accept the qadr of Allah. And that's part of Iman. Because one article of Iman is أَنْ تَرْضَى بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَقَدَرِهِ. So وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, in this ayah means وَمَنْ يَرْضَى بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ. If you're pleased with the qadr of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide your heart and He'll give you that peace of the heart and peace of the mind. To conclude, I will say one more fact, which is, look around you. The cheapest blood on earth today is the blood of Muslims. The most backward and weak ummah is the Muslim ummah. Unfortunately, this is a fact. But subhanAllah, the least percentage of suicide is in this ummah. You know why? Because of iman and qada and qadar. Some people, when something bad happens and keeps happening, what do they think of? Taking their life and committing suicide. So they lose this life and the life to come. Because it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has the right to give life and take it back. If you take your own life, you'll be eternally in hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who listen to the speech and follow the best of it. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله. الحمد لله وكفى وصلاة وسلاما على عباده الذين اصطفى وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد أيها الأحبة في الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم ارزقنا توبة قبل الموت وشهادة عند الموت وجنة ونعيما بعد الموت. اللهم كل إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم هون على إخواننا مصائب الدنيا. اللهم كل إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم عليك بكل من طغى وتكبر. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين، وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، فلا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، وكفر عنا سيئاتنا، وتقبلنا في عبادك الصالحين. اللهم اجعل آخر كلامنا من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وقت الصلاة.